I do count it a great joy to be here at Hopewell again. It's always a pleasure for me, every time I've been here, to be here with you and to take part in the services here. I appreciate every opportunity I have to speak in the name of my Lord. It's a great privilege wherever I'm at. I trust that the Lord will bless me to continue to do that, to follow after Him. And, you know, there's been a lot of good things said about Hopewell Church, and about Brother Jimmy, and about others here, and that's okay, because we know that we're not here to praise Hopewell Church. We're not here to praise Brother Jimmy or any of the rest of us. We're here to praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I trust that's true, but I do, you know, it's my obligation as a fellow servant of God to tell you that your pastor is a great encouragement to me. He's a help to me. And I just love him dearly. Subject on my mind this afternoon is not generally a popular subject. We sang a verse this morning in one of the hymns that we sang. It was number 208 in the Black Book. The third verse of that song says, "When free from envy, scorn, and pride, our wishes all above, each can his brother's failings hide and show a brother's love." Pride is not a popular subject mainly because we're all subject to it. In the 103rd Psalm, fourteenth verse says that, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." A hard concept for man to get hold of. Told that President Teddy Roosevelt, enjoying having company, when he would have people over to his house in the evening after dark, he liked to take everybody outside, have them stare at the sky. They'd just stand there and stare up into the sky. After a while, President Roosevelt would say, "Well, I think we're all down to about the right size now. Let's go back in." Sometimes we need to come back down to the right size. Y'all familiar with... Sometimes I try to make a joke out of that, referred to him as a great theologian by the name of Roger Miller. you older ones know who Roger Miller was. He was a songwriter. He was not a theologian. He wrote songs like "King of the Road," "Chug-a-Lug, Chug-a-Lug," "Doo-Wack-a-Doo." One of my favorites that he did write was a song called "Walking in the Sunshine." I like that one. Not all of his songs were silly. A couple of them were very serious. He wrote one about husbands and wives. In that song, he had a line that said, it's my belief Pride is the chief cause in the decline of the number of husbands and wives. A lot of truth in that.
Amen.
In fact, it's much like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 8, where he said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. And from the beginning, it was not so. The hardness of your heart, the pride in you. Pride is the chief cause in the decline of the number of husbands and wives.
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, only by pride cometh contention. The word pride appears 46 times in the scriptures. The word proud appears 56 times in the scriptures. That's not counting all of the synonymous words with pride and proud. That's it. That would make 102 times that word is referred to. I'm not going to quote them all. You know, in the dictionary, in the modern dictionaries, pride is defined as a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction of one's own achievements, qualities, or possessions. Or, definition number two, having high or excessively high opinions of oneself or one's importance. Out of the 102 times that word is referred to in the scriptures, I have not found not one time that it's used in a positive manner. Never. I'm like Herb on that. If you can find it and show it to me, I'll be glad to look at it. It's so far eluded me. Because the Lord does not look upon pride in a favorable way. Quite the opposite. In the Bible, it means high-minded and arrogant. There's no place for high-minded and arrogant in a child of God.
Amen.
You know, it's not just a problem for the worldly and the wicked. It's a problem for every one of us.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 13:15 says, Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. God's already said what he thinks about pride. We need to examine ourselves. We need to sometimes, in essence, go out and look at the stars until we come down to about the right size, and then go back in the house. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. We've got the pure word of God. And in the word of God, it tells us that pride is not acceptable. You know, I understand in conversation, It took me a while to break this habit. But we so often use the word proud. I'm proud of my children. Or I take pride in my work. Or, you know, I don't listen to much secular music anymore. I know I just quoted Roger Miller, and y'all know about my, some of the things I have listened to. So, but I very seldom listen to secular music. My favorite song that's been written recently was sung by Lee Greenwood. He says, "I'm proud to be an American."
Yeah, yeah.
I like that song.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't like that word. You understand?
Yeah.
Lee, why couldn't you use another word?
Yeah.
I understand what people mean when they say they're proud of their children. But I've broken myself of that statement because of the connotation of the word in the Word of God. I have great joy in my children.
Yeah.
I am thankful for my children.
Yeah.
I am pleased with my children. I am blessed by my children. So much better. It's so much better. And I know your friends will understand when you tell them you're proud of your kids. But can't we display more of what God says we should be like and say, "I'm so thankful for my children. I'm so thankful for the way that God has blessed me with them. I'm thankful for the fact that God has, in my children, I can say that God has led them. And I am thankful for that. I take great joy in it. It gives me extreme pleasure. But I don't want to be proud."
Yeah, amen.
I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be high-minded and I don't want to be arrogant. Humility is the opposite of pride. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, gives us a beautiful lesson. In verses 5 through 8, 5th chapter, he says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud." God resisteth the proud. "But he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." You're going to be exalted above anything that any human being ever deserved upon the face of the earth. If we're his children, we're going to be exalted in glory. We're going to be there in heaven with him. We will see him like he is because we will be like he is. And we will be exalted. But we'll still be below him. We'll still be looking up to him. And there still will be an element of humility, knowing that we'll never attain the greatness of an almighty, sovereign God. But it'll be so glorious because we're in his presence. Hallelujah! What a wonderful thought. In the meantime, Peter says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil would like nothing better than to get you off track. The devil likes nothing better for you to start thinking better of yourself. Proverbs chapter 6. Solomon said there in verse 16, These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What's the first thing that he listed?
Proud look.
A proud look. A proud look. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that divides wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And you know what? Most every one of them is reflective of a proud look. Pride is sometimes a secret enemy. Because it slips in on us. It'll catch us unawares. It's a secret enemy. There's secret pride, you know. That's kind of like a fellow that, puts on a show outwardly. Pride will sometimes cause us to think that others have gotten cold. Don't talk about church folks. Pride will make you do that. Pride will make you think that, Brother Jimmy, did you hear about Sister So-and-so? What she's not spiritual anymore, you know? Pride will cause us to find fault in one another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pride will cause a harsh spirit within ourselves. Cause harsh reactions to others. You know, that's a definite problem in husbands and wives, isn't it? The one we love the most sometimes is the one we snap at, isn't it?
Yeah. Go on somewhere else.
Hurt my toes as much as anybody, brother. Pride will cause us to put on pretense, you know, putting on a different appearance, something that we're not, you know, being a hypocrite, in other words. Pride is easily offended. Pride will cause us to have self-confidence. Self-confidence. You know, there's a difference between good confidence and self-confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause us to do it with both God and man. Pride will cause us to be hungry for attention. Pride will cause us to neglect others. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Let's get verse 11 also. It says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wait a minute, we've got boldness? Isn't that kind of like pride? No, not at all. Not at all. This boldness is assurance and confidence with humility. That's the boldness that the apostle's talking about. That's the boldness that we need to have. That's why in Hebrews 13:6, he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's the kind of boldness. It's still in humility before God and lowering ourselves before Him, bowing before Him, but yet by the grace of our Lord, we have access to Him so that we can, with confidence, go to Him. Hebrews chapter 4. Beginning in verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight." You may think you're hiding your pride, but God knows all of it. He knows every bit of it. At home, we've been trying to preach through the book of Joshua. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be in the 7th chapter of the book of Joshua. Those of you that are familiar with that book, you know that's where the children of Israel had already conquered Jericho, but they're fixing to go to the next city, and that city is Ai. And all the spies went out, and they came back, and they said, "Joshua, don't send everybody. Just send 2,000 or 3,000." And there are just a few of them over there. We can take it. Yeah. So the rest of the people stayed home. They didn't ask the Lord what to do. They just took off.
They got will.
And that's exactly what they did when the people of Ai came out against them. They took off in the other direction. You can't hide it from God.
Yeah.
They were in that condition because one person... have you heard the expression, "Can one man make a difference?"
Yeah.
One man can make a difference for good or for evil. Yeah. For good or for evil.
That's right.
And in that case, in Israel, one man made a difference for them, for evil. And it affected the whole nation. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto Him, open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly with assurance, confidence, and humility that He will hear us. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Pride's a dangerous thing. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. John said there, "All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and what?
Pride of life.
It's not a fault of the world." Now, brothers and sisters, we are not of the world. We're not of the world. Let us strive together, helping one another, encouraging one another. Well, Jimmy, thank you for your encouragement to me. I trust that we'll continue to try to be an encouragement to one another. Let us all strive to do that.
Amen.
And help one another in the Lord.
Amen.
Let's put pride away from us.
Amen.
Even that secret and unknown pride that we sometimes have and don't realize. But examine ourselves so that we do. Let's look at the stars. In other words, let's look to the one who made the stars, really. Look to the one who made the stars. Let's come back down to the right size. And then carry on. May God bless you.
Amen.